Welcome to Beauty and the Brain with your hosts, Dr. Chris Crowley and nurse practitioner Jerry Drinkard. Get ready to dive into the latest in revolutionary treatments, cutting-edge devices, and wellness secrets. Whether you're a consumer or provider, we're here to empower you at the forefront of beauty and aesthetics.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetics. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner. Together, Chris and I own Skin and Tonic, a med spa that's located here in Pace, Florida. Today, we're excited to be joined by, once again, our nurse practitioner at the clinic, Miss Allie Ballou. And we're going to be talking about some topics that she chose today. So, Allie, she tends to do things a little different than Chris and I. And in fact, when I was reading the initial outline, I didn't even know what crunchy meant.
Yeah, me and Sierra came up with this together, so I'm gonna give her a little credit too. But yeah, crunchy is like, I think people view people as crunchy who are very like natural, holistic type of people who are anti-toxins, anti-microplastics, anti-additives in their foods, preservatives, all of those types of things, and try to live a cleaner lifestyle, I guess.
I'd call it granola.
Or granola, yeah. Granola is a good word for it.
Healthy. Does anybody pro microplastics in their body?
No, but I think there's people that don't care about it.
It's inevitable.
It's inevitable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is an interesting topic. Maybe we'll get as much interest as we did in your last few. We got quite a bit of the last episode. You were on people like sending us recruitment. They want to be on here because they want to be like you.
Cute.
Inspirational, right? We got two or three that said we love watching Allie's episode. So maybe you're picking some good ones and we'll get some feedback on this.
I like to pick easy topics that are more conversational.
You're an inspiration.
All right. So I guess the interesting part of this topic is how people choose what they are going to be healthy about, are more natural and holistic about, because the example we use was people who will say, I don't want any toxins in my body. They're going to avoid something like Botox or one of the neurotoxins, but they're also the same person that's at the store drinking soda.
Yeah.
Right. And so they're putting other sorts of things. So how we pick and choose as individuals, what we're going to be like picky about. I think that's the fascinating part of this conversation.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's okay. Like, I think you can definitely choose where you want to, I guess, focus your health on. I'm certainly like not the first. Like, I don't think anyone would refer to me as crunchy in the slightest. Like, there are things, but there are things that I like won't do or that I have like weaned myself off of out of fear of like it not being good for me, I think, or like long-term side effects of things. I think it would be cool if we all went around and said like, what's one thing that like we don't care, like we're still going to do it even though we know it's bad for us. And then what's one thing that you've maybe stopped doing at some point in your life because you're afraid of long-term side effects?
Okay, Jerry, go.
Jerry, go.
Well, so one thing I continue to do that would not be considered crunchy would be neurotoxin. That qualifies, right? Like, that's a fine. Crunchy person wouldn't do.
I don't know. There are some people who will do that.
Yeah, but that's like, I mean, people pick and choose shit because like...
Yeah, I think that's fine.
They won't drink after you, but they'll go make out with you at the bar.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say like neurotoxin is something easy in our field and something that I wean myself off of that I wouldn't do. Threads. I'm not going to do any more threads.
You're weaning yourself off?
Weaned off.
So the lifting threads.
Yeah, the lifting threads.
You'll do smooth still.
Yeah, I'll do that. I know, Chris. I know the...
I don't think threads are bad for you.
I don't think they're bad for you. And
yeah, that's...
I hate the word crunchy.
I don't like the word crunchy. I think it's kind of like moist.
Yeah.
Like crunchy and moist are kind of two. I think they're both. But you know, I know this is like going down a rabbit hole, but I do kind of think like all the biostimulants would be crunchy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just had a conversation about this, though, with somebody asking about Sculptra. And so they were talking about Sculptra, and they're like, is that, it was a question in a class full of aesthetic providers, and they're like, is that considered natural? Because I'm like, well, no, that the sculpture itself is not. It's you know, polylactic acid. So it's something that's synthetic that we're putting in the body to create a natural response. So the result may appear more natural, but the process in getting there, it's still not a totally natural substance. And so, you know, when you get into the aesthetic world, fillers are also, most of them are hyaluronic acid. We all have hyaluronic acid in our body, but is it natural? They put chemicals in it to cross-link it. They put things in it to make it last longer or to make it numb. So no, it's not 100% exactly what's in our body, and the way that it's cultured and made and manufactured is also not. So it's very interesting who will draw lines at what they consider natural or not.
Well, you can, I mean, it's the whole interpretation of how you want to spin it to make it work for you, because I mean, like you said, hyaluronic acid is found naturally in our body. The PLLA is not natural, but you get a natural result using PLLA.
And that was one of the things that I was asked in terms of addressing patients who want to, they're maybe filler phobic, so they're afraid of filler, and they come in and they want something natural. And I, you know, my response to that is, I think you really have to address why they're afraid of it. Because a lot of these patients that may be afraid of something like that and say, we want a more natural result, it is not because they're being more healthy or they're being more granola. It's because they're afraid of looking overdone or artificial. And we see so many images of celebrities and people who are overdone. They don't look natural. And so it's not that they want a natural substance as much as they want to maintain a natural look, and they're afraid of being overdone. So I'm like, that's a really different conversation than somebody who says, I want something totally natural in my body. And maybe they would be okay with something like a PRP or a laser procedure that's going to like use some sort of laser energy to stimulate collagen production rather than us putting a foreign substance there. So I think there's all varying degrees of why people would say they want something natural in aesthetics. It may be a natural appearance and they don't care about an artificial substance, or it may be that, you know, we really truly don't want any substances in our body. And in that case, I think it's our duty as providers to know what options they have. And we really do have a lot of options that we can do things without any foreign substance at all and get a great result. So I think that's where we kind of have the range of things. I don't know, for me personally, it's not for the right like reasons that we're talking about today. For me, it's more psychologic. Like, I won't do the PDO barb threads because I don't want to feel that. The fact I could feel something inside and tugging and not be able to get it out would drive me crazy. But I'm not afraid of the actual substance itself, the polydioxinone. I'm not afraid of it at all. We have really good results with it. I just don't want to feel that tugging. Some people love that.
I had a student this weekend, and she had been to Korea and had permanent threads placed and does not like the
Dr. Crowley's nightmare.
Yeah, she doesn't like the fact that there's something in there that's not going to go away.
She has beautiful results. Yeah, we saw her. She looks amazing.
Yeah, she loves it.
But she doesn't like, and that would be me, that if I knew it was there and I could feel it, I would probably just go.
So would you ever get an implant of any sort?
I don't know. I mean, that concerns me. And so I'm even worried. We've talked about it with hormone replacement therapy. So I'm on testosterone injections. And so I have to do that then frequently. So would I continue to do that? Or should I get a pellet that I don't have to do it? And the fact that I knew a pellet was there, even though they're like, they degrade, they're gone in so many months, I wouldn't like knowing it's there. And I could, so for me personally, it's not the choice for me, but there's a lot of people who do quite well with it.
So no breast implants in the future?
I don't know. I've talked about pec implants.
I would 1,000%. I would double my scurvy for a pec implant. I'm telling you, I would love some pec implants.
Yes, I wouldn't say never. Never say never. For me, like, I think more as we're talking about this, we're in the aesthetic realm. I don't know that there's a lot that I would say is off limits that I wouldn't try. Like I said, something that I could feel inside me or that I knew was there, maybe I would say no. Mine is more like health related overall. So I do try to think about like how to maintain a healthier lifestyle. And there's definitely things I do that are not healthy. I don't have the best diet. And so I love a chicken tender. Anybody who knows me knows I love me a chicken tender and Popeyes, but I don't want to eat out of things that are like microwaved in plastic or styrofoam. And so like growing up, when we had leftovers, we just put it in the container in the microwave. And I do worry about that. Like even, you know, when at different places, like at the hospital, I make sure I have glass bowls. And if I want to reheat something, it has to be in that bowl that can go in the microwave. I try to minimize, like, and it's not an absolute, but I don't like to drink out of plastic bottles. So like when I'm at home, I'll try to drink out of glass or one of our cup. Because I travel so much, I drink out of a lot of plastic bottles because it's just convenient. It's there. But if I'm given the option at like an airport store, I'll choose one of the glass or aluminum containers instead of plastic. So I try to minimize it, but it's not like I say, I'm absolutely not going to do it. So there's a concern there. And it's like, when I can make a healthier choice, I will. But that's not always possible.
One healthy choice that you have given up, and this, you know what I'm about to say? Mountain Dew.
Oh, Mountain Dew.
This sucker, Chris would drink like 6 to 8, like 16 ounce Mountain Dews, 20 ounce Mountain Dews a day.
Big bottle.
And instead of like a water on the nightstand, he would drink Mountain Dew during the night.
That's crazy.
I love Mountain Dew.
He stopped drinking Mountain Dew because they have a soda machine at his office, and he would drink God knows how many Mountain Dews a day. And I was like, if you just like stop drinking soda and drink water instead, literally the weight fell off of him.
That's how I lost weight, probably my first time. I mean, that was literally around the time we first met. And so that was 20 years ago. It wasn't as easy as just switching away from that as I got older.
I never drank a Mountain Dew until we like started dating. And I thought, God, this is the...
That's all he has.
And then I was like, dang, I really like this. And then I started drinking Mountain Dew. And then we swapped or switched and started drinking diet. But let's go back to crunchy. So what about you?
Speaking of diet sodas, one thing I will not be giving up is Diet Coke. I actually did give up Diet Coke, I don't remember how, probably 5 years ago, because of like all the aspartame stuff and like relating it to dementia and your risk. And like, I already have dementia that runs in my family. And so I was like, wait, I know it's not good for me. Like, I'll just stop drinking it. And I actually did like wean myself off of Diet Coke for a while. And I did unfortunately find that like it did give me more natural energy. I did sleep better at night. I felt better during the day, like not having that added. I was actually caffeine free. I didn't even drink coffee at this time. I don't know what inspired me to do this, but I'm back on one mini Diet Coke a day. And I will be staying on that dose of aspartame per day. I think one mini Diet Coke is not going to kill me. I think it helps get me from like the 2 to 5 part of my day. I love it. I think it tastes good. I won't be giving it up anytime soon. All of my friends from college, like I don't think any of them drank Diet Coke. And we're actually all going on a trip this weekend. We made a grocery list, and the first thing I put on there was Diet Cokes because I love a Diet Coke in the morning. And if I'm on a trip, and everyone's like, oh, good, the Diet Coke's already added to the list. And they're like, I never drank Diet Coke until Allie drank Diet Coke in college. And like, now we're all addicted. So Diet Coke's something I won't give up. But something I weaned myself off of out of fear of long-term side effects is Adderall. Because I was prescribed Adderall for years. And I was just like, I'm going to try to push through it. I'm not saying that everybody can push through it. I think there's varying degrees of ADD and who needs what medication at what dose. But I did wean myself off of that because I just felt like long term, it can't be good for my heart.
I think what's really interesting is how we all decide on what's good for us, bad for us. And right now in the world that we live in with like, not just, we used to say Dr. Google because people just Google everything. But then we have Dr. ChatGPT now where people are using that for medical advice. And then we just form our own opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's kind of interesting. It always fascinates me to watch people where they draw the lines. And I'm not saying, you know, who's right or wrong. Definitely we see this right now. We just had, look at what's going on in the U.S. politically with Tylenol and what they're saying about the, acetaminophen and the link with autism. And I think when you look worldwide, there's not a lot of evidence to support it, but somebody has decided that it is, and now it's going to get all these labels on it. And so it's like, there will be people who will listen to their physicians, there will be people who decide on their own, and then there will be people who substitute and do other things instead of that, that may be equally or more harmful. And so I believe that when it comes to medicine in general, and especially when we're talking about things in aesthetics, really one of the things that's important for anybody listening out there, or if you're a provider, is to educate yourself on the products. And if you're a patient, then go and talk to your provider. Talk to the people who are experts in these areas and not just reading hype from the company that produces the medication or what you're seeing in the media, because we do know there's lots of that out there. So there's, and I think that's what's created a lot of distrust is the big pharmaceutical industry. And so there's always distrust of like big companies, lots of money and the influence they have. But when we see that in aesthetic space, we see that one particular neurotoxin, Xeomin.
Mm-hmm.
And so Xeomin did a great job of marketing that to people that it's the pure or the natural toxin. And really it's these complexing proteins or some additional proteins that are mixed in that specific one that are not in that one, that are absent from that one, that you find it in a lot of the other ones, so Botox, Dysport. And, you know, their clinical significance is questionable. It's still being researched. However, that company latched onto it because it was unique and different, and they marketed it heavily, and they found celebrities to go out and endorse it and say, do this because it's the natural one, it's the pure one, it's the clean one. And what we found then as providers was patients pushing us to use that. And so this big industry got celebrities, paid lots of money to endorse the product. Celebrities know nothing about the science of the other ones, about what's different out there. They just got a lot of money to endorse it, which then put pressure on providers across the U.S. without strong evidence. I'm not saying there's not some support, and there may be some validity to some of those concerns. We may see in the future that we switch to all toxins that don't have that. There's some new ones coming out that have none of those proteins in them either. The bottom line was there wasn't clear science on the scientific value of that, but because of a big company with lots of money funneling to celebrities who endorsed it, we saw patients now all of a sudden ask for it, demand it, change their mind. And so as a consumer, they were being influenced by a celebrity who was not medical. As providers, you know, it really depended on who you would talk to or who you would see. We had those conversations with our patients. But I know there's a lot of providers that would just switch and use that. So they wouldn't have a conversation because they would just say the patients are asking for it. We're going to do what they ask for. So whatever they ask for, they get. And so it's like medicine on demand without really having a full understanding. So I think we see that in the world in general right now. I believe that there's a lot of distrust of some of the big drug companies. But in reality, we know that the average lifespan is older than ever. We know that people are living healthier, longer lives now than they ever have. And why is that? It's probably because of some of the...
Because of Tylenol.
Tylenol. Yeah. No, it's better control of chronic disease. And so there is a place for this. And so as much as we want to be natural, I think there's a place for both. And I think in aesthetics, really, we have to follow the science, the evidence, and educate ourselves and our patients on what we're bringing into the practice, because we don't know what we're going to find 5 or 10 years down the road. I mean, that's the bottom line.
I always say I think it's interesting because I feel like I'm kind of in the age group that started so young with Botox or Dysport or any neurotoxin, because I would think I was 25 maybe the first time I got it done. And I always think like, you know, I'm kind of part of the first generation that started so young with aesthetic injectables that like, you know, we'll see.
Well, I think it's also interesting with things that we talk about, because something that's like very natural was hotly debated at one of the conferences we were just at recently is a product called PDGF, and it's technically a natural product it's using. But the question is it so stimulating that we're going to see things in the future, certain types of like angiosarcomas, or where there's these different types of cancers that may be developed from this hypervascularization? It's been used in many other parts of medicine without seeing that. So I don't think we will, but that's a question, right? It's like, it's a good question. The providers who are asking the question, you know, maybe they're right and the rest of us are wrong. And so I think that we have to watch all those things, because that is all natural. But is it going to be all natural with more results than something that's not natural that's very safe?
I don't know that all natural necessarily means more healthy either, though. I mean, there are a lot of things that can be found naturally that aren't healthy. Yeah.
I'm not going to use beef tallow on my face instead of my medical grade skincare personally.
I will say I like some
you
beef
like
tallow.
You like beef tallow.
But maybe not on my face, but I do love some beef tallow.
Funny stuff that you do that's like, I can't believe I do this. I know it's unhealthy, but I'm still going to do it. And then other stuff that you avoid. I mean, again, we can go down the list. For me, I drink Splenda in my coffee. I don't want to switch away from that. People talk about Splenda all the time. I'm like, no, I love my Splenda. It preserves me. It's a preserver that keeps me looking young.
You know what I love is like a street hot dog, like a hot dog from a street stand. Like
I love like a corn dog from a street stand, but there's almost nothing else that I'll eat from a truck. Like there's some way Jerry loves it, and I'm afraid of food.
I love street food, but this week we were in New York. We were going to a nice place. We were in New York at Little Italy at this little festival or big festivals, tons of people and all this great Italian food lining the streets. And Chris and I are walking. We're walking beside each other. We're with a group, and he's like, oh my God, look at that funnel cake.
We were both on the same page.
I would have, like, eat the funnel cake off of her plate. Like, it looks so good. It's fried.
Yeah.
This is our time of year. We're almost October, and I always get excited about October because I love the Pensacola State Fair. And so Chris and I, like, literally when he's home, we'll eat dinner at the fair sometimes two or three nights.
You went a lot of nights.
Oh, yeah.
I, just for the funnel cake.
Just for the funnel cake. I'll even take myself on a date by myself to the fair if Chris is out of town just to eat unhealthy food. I'm probably the only person that goes to the fair to eat Chinese food from a food truck. But, yeah, so he says he doesn't like food trucks, but he does love a funnel cake.
You know who's the most crunchy that's not sitting here right now is probably Sierra.
For sure.
I think you use natural deodorant, yeah? See, I've tried natural deodorant. I smell. Like, I will rev aluminum on my armpits if I have to, but I will not smell bad and I will not sweat.
Do you not use it because of the talc?
Because of what?
Isn't that what our whole, the talc that's in there?
No, aluminum.
No, it's aluminum and
it has
deodorant.
It has talc in there too, right?
Oh, remember. That's baby powder. That's makeup.
And makeup.
Yeah. But like aluminum, that there it came out. There's lead in tampons.
There's what?
Lead in tampons.
Lead?
Lead. I use tampons. Sierra just tried to get me on a menstruation cup.
Well,
Jerry was
that's
like,
the
what
most
is this?
Disgusting sound of anything.
You know what it is?
No.
Think about, like, have you ever seen, like, a measuring cup that's, like, silicone kind of, and, like, you could fold it up, like, you could push it together, like, it's not hard. It's like that, essentially, in, like, a cup form, and you fold it up, stick it in, and it stays there, and it collects all of the blood from your period, and it can hold blood for up to like 8 hours, I'm pretty sure. And then whenever you, and it has a piece that hangs out kind of at the bottom, so whenever you pull it out, you reach up, pull it out, and then all of the blood goes into the toilet.
And then you wash it or throw it away? Is it, it's silicone?
Then you would, like, yeah, you would rinse it, clean it, and you reuse it. It's reusable.
There's gonna be so many cuckoo infections from that.
It sounds awful. That's,
I've never tried it. It sounds messy to me.
That's what I'm saying. It sounds like, I think about, we have a product like for like vaginal rejuvenation, right? The CO2 lift, the V, and people put it up inside them and they talk about how messy it is to pull it out. That's what I'm imagining this would be like. Like clotted blood they're having to pull out.
100%. Like I would imagine, does it not clot while it's sitting in the cup?
Have you ever made true dirty rice when you ground it, the chicken liver before you put it in with the rice and it's got that little slime to it?
Never, and now I'll not eat dirty rice ever again either because I do not eat livers and I'm certainly not going to eat it now.
I don't like associating with
okay.
two.
Okay. All right.
But it is a healthier option. You know, it's something like if you're worried about what you're putting in your body, like there are options.
But you avoid the lead, but if you forget to take it out or it gets stuck or dislodged or...
Murder scene, I guess, is worse.
Like you're going to dish it out?
But I mean, there are instances like some people will have to go to the hospital to fish tampons out.
Yeah.
Are you sure it's lead in all the tampons? All of them. There's not a lead-free alternative. So why do they put lead in tampons?
Yeah, the study was pretty recent.
Okay. Again, this may be something that's like, where are we mix things together in one thing? So there is not intentionally lead in tampons, according to ChatGPT, but there was recent study, but there's environmental contamination. So cotton and other plant fibers can absorb metal from soil, water, and pesticides. So the cotton that they put in there may be absorbing some lead, but you're wearing cotton in your clothing. You're wearing cotton in your underwear. You're wearing cotton in your bra.
Well, I was going to say, there's a company, I think it's called Thrive Market. And it's like a subscription service and you get it. It's basically like Amazon to your house and it has snacks, cleaning products, all of these things that are like clean, that have non-toxic, no chemicals, no preservatives, all of that stuff. And you can order it and it's all alternatives to like everyday household items, whether it's dish soap, laundry detergent, like a Clorox wipe style, a counter wipe. All of these things that you can buy from this Thrive Market, they basically research all the brands for you and find clean, healthy brands like Miss Myers, I think is one of them, that are a cleaner alternative to cleaning products and snacks and food. And I've thought about signing up for it. But again, that's where I'm like, I'm a hypocrite. I drink a Diet Coke and I order a hot dog from a stand on the street and I'm paying what kind of money to order stuff from Thrive Market? Like, it just seems, I don't know.
I think this is an episode to be continued because now we're going to all know more about tampons and Thrive.
So with the tampons, I tested six
Yeah. This was a tampon episode now.
This is a tampon episode now. But they did 30 samples from 14 different brands from US, UK, and Europe. And they looked at 16. And so some form of metal was found in all of them, but lead was found in every single one tested. So two samples from 14 companies, and they all had some degree, but it was 120 nanograms per gram. And so they basically dissolved and looked at it. So, and it didn't matter if it was an organic or a non-organic tampon. So there was none that were totally clean of it. But the question is it absorbed out of that? Does it get into the bloodstream? How is it absorbed by vaginal tissue? So if you're not testing like lead levels, doesn't even matter that they can test it and find some trace amount in there. So again, like, right, we have...
Pick your battles, you know?
Pick your battles.
We need to get bits of green leaf on here.
We need to get bits of green leaf on here.
That's, I think, the moral of this podcast is choose your battles, you know? Decide when you're going to take medications. Decide when you're going to eat clean versus organic.
I think when you have a healthier option, then most people will think about it and try to choose that option. But like you said, pick your battles, because it's not just, I mean, it's easy for us to sit here and talk about it in the aesthetic world, but in reality, from a lot of these day-to-day choices, people can't afford the healthier options. They're more expensive usually. So when I buy the water in the fancy bottle in California, it's a lot more expensive than the plastic Dasani from, you know, Walmart. And so those are where you're going to have to say, like, some people, they may want to make a healthier choice, but they may not be able to afford to. So, all right. Are you guys telling me this episode is too long?
It's done.
All right. Thank you guys for tuning in for another episode of Beauty and the Brain. We look forward to seeing you all next week.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.